ultimately. One is founded on the love of God to the contempt of self. The other is founded on the contempt of God to the love of self. Now, we could change that a little bit. You see, one is founded on harboring hatred to the contempt of others. The other is harboring mercy and pouring it out for the freedom of others. Ultimately, we've got to choose. And that's what faces us in these two texts we have today. Whatever else we do in Lent, we should certainly make sure that by the time we come to the Paschal Vigil, there is no resentment in our heart anywhere against anybody. And if there's still some lingering, at least we're fighting against it. We're not yielding to it. That's a big order, but that's what Lent's for. And we have all these Gospels. The most striking is the one today. Now, the first reading from Daniel teaches us a lot about repentance. See, first, for your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up. Think of your reputation, God. We're your people. And we have made an absolute mess of everything you've ever given us to do. But for your sake, show your mercy. So the whole world will see, that's who God really is. Look, the Catholic Church has been arrogant and stupid and full of pedophilia and all the rest. And still, look what God does for them. There's hope for us. You see, this appeal, and don't make void your covenant. The covenant sealed in the blood of your Son. Now, do not take away your mercy from us, because, well, we were good when we were three? No. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy one, Lord, look around heaven and see all your saints and be delighted with them. And for their sake, forgive us. Who knows? Some of us might even return enough love for you to be like one of them. Imagine how grateful Augustine was. Or my example I always give is Camillus de Lellis. You know, he was a professional soldier, a mercenary, you know, a murderer, a roustabout, a profligate, a gambler, and the Lord touched his life. In fact, his reputation was so bad that no order would take him when he tried to join. So he just started helping the poor, the very sick. And what do you know? He turned out to be a founder himself. So here we got Camillus de Lellis, Saint Camillus de Lellis, and all the people who wouldn't take him. I suppose they're nice guys, but we never heard of them. I don't know who they were. You see? So for the sake of Camillus, and St. Paul, and St. Francis, and St. Thomas, St. Maria Goretti, look at us and have mercy on us. That's very important, you see, because it takes away from us two things. First, we're praying for the whole church. And secondly, we're part of a body. And part of that body is radiant and glorious and filled with light and sees God and praises Him. And they're our brothers and sisters. We're joined to them. We are flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone. We can pray, Lord, we're not doing very well, but just look at them and think of how they served you in this life and have mercy on us. You see how it's very helpful because, my God, I'm stuck in my own sin. Oh, no, is he going to forgive me? No, no, no. I got brothers and sisters who really, really love him, and he really likes them. You see, that's very important because we belong to that. They're flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. We can talk to them anytime you want. And they like to help us. They're part of the body. Now, there's another way to look at this as well. our Lord's parable, you know, about the fellow who owed. Really, the figures are incalculable. Really, it's almost like he owed the national debt. And he says, "Give me a break. I'll pay you back in full." There's no way. He's never going to pay back that debt. Ever. The master wrote it off. He turns around to a guy who owes him $5,000. And he begins to grab him and shake him and put him in jail. And just think. So, there's two ways we can look at that. They're both very valid. One is to just take a look at the real nature of our sins and say, "I have been forgiven all of that. Surely I can let this go. And I can fight against it in my heart where there's still resentment." And I mean, if I look at at what I owe the Lord, it's pretty easy to let go of these little peccadilloes, right? Or big ones. Big ones. Suppose you'd lived in Kosovo, the way they tortured people there. To forgive that, you see? But there's another way. More guaranteed. Because that one is sort of calculation, inference. I got some idea of what the nature of my sins really is. And they're forgiven. And that's good. That's logical. The other way is to experience the Lord's mercy. Experience His mercy. He doesn't just write off the debt. He loves us. In fact, He paid the debt with His own blood. And when that happens to us, when we begin to experience His mercy, our heart really changes. And all day long, we just have more authority over those movements of impatience and judgment and condemnation and all that, that, you know, just sully our spirit all day. Because mercy. To experience the mercy. We also see then, in much greater light, what our sins really are. But I think to go to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, Your mercy is a fact. It's just that I'm too stupid to pick it up. So I'm walking around, you know, afraid of You, minimizing my sin. I wasn't that bad, you know. Or my mother dropped me on my head when I was 2. That's why I do that, you know." Or, "Now just, Lord, Your mercy is a fact. Let me in on it. Let me in on it. It's just another act of mercy. I don't deserve it. I'll never understand it. Just let me know Your mercy." Nothing changes our hearts more than that. And you know, my friends, that's the gamble we've taken with our whole life. Supreme in life is merciful love. That's the supreme thing in life. Not power, not money, not vengeance, not pleasure, not money. The supreme reality in all human existence, in this world and in the next, is merciful love. And we've gambled on that. And we're going to win. So pray, because that's the key to forgiveness, is to not just calculate, as it were, which is a good act of reason and very helpful, but to experience the mercy of God. So we should pray for that during this liturgy and pray for each other. I'm saying Mass for the church today and for the whole community here, particularly that we become pool of mercy. The monastic life, the old timers who've been through everything. You know, by now there's nothing gonna rattle them or shake them, and the word for them is they are pools of mercy. That would keep any community going. The pools of mercy.